We are in Exodus chapter 20. We are going through the 10 commandments. We so far have covered five. And as we looked at the fifth commandment last week about honoring parents, the first commandment that deals with our relationship with each other, as we discussed the first four commandments, which deals with our relationship with God. And so today, as we come to the sixth commandment, it's a very simple commandment: "Thou shalt not kill." Right? It talks about murder. And so as we look at what that means, we need to find out what's the definition of murder according to God. So one of the things that we do when we look at these commandments, right, or at least the world when they look at these 10 commandments, is a bunch of do's and don'ts that God is telling us, don't do this. It's looked at it as a restriction, but that's not what these commandments are about. What the commandments are teaching us or telling us is the nature of God. That this is how God thinks. This is God's definition. This is God's standard. What our life, what our moral compass should be. And that's what we are looking at. And that's why, you know, we could have done these 10 commandments in a one sitting and just basically say one or two words and move on to the next chapter. But I really wanted to look at these commandments in detail to see what it really means and how we can apply to our life. Those of us who are under the New Testament covenant, you know, and sometimes when we look at this Old Testament law, we tend to think that perhaps it does not apply to us. But I think there, when we come into the New Testament, it's even a stricter commandments than the one we see here in Exodus. So what does a murder mean, right? And so, first of all, I wanna define that for you, and I hope you guys agree with it, right? So, is every kind of killing a murder? Obviously not, right? So, the definition that we need to keep in mind is it's an unjustified, premeditated harm to somebody. Okay, that's what we are looking at here, and for that. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 35. I believe that's where we are. I hope that's where we are. Numbers 35. And we're around verse 15. Right, it defines a murder for us over there. It's talking about the sanctuary city, and this is what it says starting verse 15. It says, "This sixth city shall be for a refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he's a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." And it goes on to tell us about how God defines murder. And if we were to put it in a simple word, is right, it is an intentional, when a person has an intention of harming another person for their own gain, right? When we, in a couple of chapters, when we get into the Exodus chapter 22, and if you look at the verse 2 over there, it clearly defines that if you harm someone or if you kill someone in a self-defense, then that is not considered a murder. If you look at 1 Samuel, where Saul gets the instruction, or if you are in a war situation, If you happen to be in an army and then you are fighting and you kill somebody, that is not considered a murder. So the murder to God, according to the definition, right, is when in your heart you decide to kill someone. That is what is murder for God, or a biblical definition of a murder. And this is important to understand. And so why is this commandment here? And before we even go any further, let's see what Jesus had to say about this, right? And for there, we are going to go to Matthew chapter 5, somewhere around verse 21, where he talks about, 21, right? Actually, matter of fact, the title in your Bible for that section is Murder Begins in the Heart. You have heard that it was said to those of old, meaning in what we are studying, Exodus, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in a danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in a danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in a danger of hell fire. Right? So here we see that Jesus is associating the murder, or the commandment that we are studying, the sixth commandment, with anger. This is an important thing to remember. Okay, and when we look at the murders that take place in the Old Testament, why did Cain kill Abel? Right? It was an issue of a heart. It wasn't just the self-defense, he was angry. He was angry because God did not accept his sacrifice. And then we can go on, and we are going to look at some of the murders that did take place. And what we will see is it's an issue of a heart. Where is your heart at? And as we look at this commandment, especially the last five commandments, right? They have to deal, they deal with your heart. What is the heart of a sin? It's a sinful heart. Okay? The heart of the sin is our heart is full of sin. That's all, it's all there, you know. And so as you look at do not steal, do not kill, right? Do not commit adultery, do not bear a false witness, covetousness. When we look at all these five commandments, all of them have to do with your heart. Not that the others don't, but this they spring up from your heart. It is your unhappiness, it's your anger, right? Your greed that prompts you to commit this acts. And the time that we live in, our focus is so much on the outward act, right? What is, you know, I can think about killing somebody, right? But if I don't do it, right? Yesterday I was at the conference, and a pastor gave a great example, which we'll use it perhaps next week. But the point that he made is, if I think about something, right? If I think about another woman, and I have a lustful thoughts about her, and then I go and tell my wife about it, right? To her, I have already committed an adultery. So it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of heart. So even if you think in your mind, right, or as Jesus defines here, if you are angry at your brother, okay, then you have committed murder. And as we're talking about murder today, it's going to get a little uncomfortable, right? Because the time that we are living in, and the hot button issue for the day, is an abortion. Okay? And there is no other way for us to define abortion but murder. Okay, there is no other way for us to define that. Turn with me. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. And we're going to be looking at these verses for the next 3 weeks. So you can bookmark this if you like. You know, and it says over there, a proud look, a lying tongue. And then look what it says, the third thing. Right? Oh, before I even say that, look at what verse 16 says. These six things the Lord hates. These are the things that Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And the first thing he says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and then the third thing is, a hands that shed an innocent blood. An innocent blood. A murder. This is serious business, you know, and a lot of us are going to say, you know what, I have never killed anybody, you know, I have no desire to kill anyone. But when we look at the biblical definition and some of the things that we support, you know, I hope at the end of this Bible study, you look at this commandment a little bit differently. If we stay in that same Proverbs, if we go to Proverbs 31, verse 8. This is going to be a scripture-heavy Bible study, so, you know, Proverbs 31, verse 8 says, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth for speechless. Is there anyone more speechless than a baby in a womb? Is there anyone more speechless than a baby in a womb? Okay. And when you look at the definition, as we have been discussing, right? Even if you look at a definition of a murder in a dictionary, right? And actually, I have it. I'm gonna read it for you. You know what? I'm not gonna look. But if you look at the, if you go to the dictionary and look at a definition of a murder, what you will see is that when one person commits an act, a killing, for their benefit, it is considered a murder. And when we look at an abortion, and there are, you know, it's a hot topic, okay? You have very passionate people on both sides of the argument. But for us, those of us who are grounded into the Word of God, biblically speaking, there is no argument. There is no argument whatsoever. It is a murder, you know. And if you want to see what kind of a trauma that takes place, right, go and look it up, how a first trimester abortion looks like. They literally take a vacuum and suck the baby out. Okay, if that doesn't gross you out, go and look at what a second trimester abortion looks like. And I know I'm making some of you very uncomfortable with this conversation. You know what happens in the second trimester when they try to suck the baby out? Sometimes they are not able to get all of it, so there are parts coming out. Sometimes the head is too big, so they crush the baby's head so it would come out. Okay, and if you don't think this is murder, okay, I was reading an account of an abortion clinic in Orlando, Florida. This was a few years ago, okay? And they were having a free abortion day. It was a promotion for them, okay? And their goal was to do 100 abortions that day at that clinic, okay? A local pastor with the team went to that clinic, stood in front of the clinic, trying to, you know, convince people, give the gospel, and, you know, just share the good news. And as they were there during the day, and as they saw this young woman going in and out, okay, in a late afternoon, one of the nurses who worked in the clinic came out, and she was rushing home. And so pastor stopped her and started speaking to her. She said, what happened? You know, what is going on? You know, she said, and the nurse was not a believer. She was not a Christian. She worked there. Okay, she said, we are at number 87, and I can literally feel the evil in that place I could no longer stay in there. I had to get out of there. If you don't think an abortion is a plan of Satan, okay, if you don't think the abortion is a plan of Satan, I don't know what Bible you are reading, right? What does Jeremiah 1:5 tell us? Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 1:5, right? It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before he was in a thought, okay? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay, before he was born, God, before he was even formed in a womb, right? God knew. God knows each and every one of us before we were formed, okay? And when we look at America, right? 60 million babies, 60 million babies have been aborted. Do you think those babies, how many of them were perhaps Billy Graham's? Okay, how many of them were John Edwards? Folks, this is a plan of Satan, right? It's a plan of Satan. When we go to the murder in Genesis, okay, in Genesis chapter 4, right? What does it say over there? It says, God spoke to Cain and said, your brother's blood is crying out to me. So that blood is not silent. Blood is crying out to the Lord. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. Look what it says about crying out. Revelation 6:10. Okay, it says, and they cry, let's read from 9, right? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. All right, these are the people who were martyred. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? We worship a just God. We worship a God who does not poo-poo the sin, okay? He does not take the sin lightly. Here are the saints crying out to God, when are you going to judge and avenge our blood? Do you think that the 60 million babies are blood crying out to God, okay, about avenging their blood? Because that's an innocent blood that was shed. Okay, let me give you one more verse. Go to Jeremiah again, verse 19:5. This is a chilling, chilling verse over here, okay? Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5. I'm sorry if this is not the Bible study you had in mind when you tuned in today on a Sunday night. You know, I think sometimes we don't want to think about some of these things. We want a nice cotton candy message, right? And we don't want to choose sides, right? Oh, we gotta love everybody. We don't wanna say tough things to people, okay? But look, we are at a point, right? Yesterday we heard a message from Joshua, and the subject of the message was, right, as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. It is a time to draw a line in the sand. You have to choose a side. I'm sorry. And I'm not talking about choosing whether you're going to register yourself as a Democrat or a Republican. What the line that I am talking about is, are you for God or are you against God? That's the line I'm talking about. And if you are going to choose that, and if you're going to stand for God, you are going to have some difficult conversations. You're going to have to confront people. You're going to have to offend people, okay? And if you are shy about that, okay, I would say you get on your knees and ask God to give you some boldness, okay? Jeremiah 19 verse 5 says, They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. Think about it. It didn't even come into God's mind. And a lot of us are saying, I heard this argument yesterday when I was having a conversation, that nobody's sacrificing babies right now, right? These people were sacrificing their sons in the fire to Baal. Who's a Baal? Baal is a pagan idol. Why are people having an abortion? You know what's the number one reason why people are having an abortion? When you ask a woman who had an abortion, the number one reason they will give you is because it is going to affect my lifestyle. It is about inconvenience. Inconvenience, okay? And so, yeah, perhaps they are not sacrificing this baby to Baal. They are sacrificing it, okay, to a different kind of an idol, themselves. Themselves, okay? I know this is this is not comfortable, okay? But this needs to be said. This needs to be said. And so why am I telling you about this, right? Because who is the one who always comes to kill and steal? Satan, right? John chapter 8, Jesus tells the Pharisees, you are doing what your father does. You kill, you lie, okay? That's what Satan comes for. That's what Satan comes for, okay? His plan is to destroy the image of God. And he started all the way back in Genesis, right? Cain killed Abel. The two deliverers of the people, right? First being Moses, and then the second being Jesus. What did Satan want to do? He wanted to kill them, right? What was the plan of Satan? When Pharaoh made that law in Egypt, was to kill the deliverer. And that has been his plan from day one. Since he does not know, right, who that seed was going to be throughout the Old Testament, all he did is he tried to destroy the Israelites. If there are no Jewish people, if there are no there is no lineage of David, right, then there is no Messiah. If there is no Messiah, there is no deliverer. And that's why you see, you see at the time of Queen Esther, you see Moses, even when Jesus was born all the way into the New Testament, was the first thing that Herod did? Kill every child who was under 2 years of age, just so he can get Jesus. This is the plan of Satan, that he wants to kill prophets like Jeremiah, the deliverers like Moses, and Jesus in the womb. In the womb. This is the plan. This is the plan. Okay? And this is something that we need to understand, that Satan is trying to undo. Okay? Undo. He doesn't have any other plan. All he's going to do is kill. Okay? And whenever he comes to entice you, right? He only shows you the benefit. All right? Do this. You are going to gain this. He never tells you the consequences. Right? He didn't go to Eve and say, if you eat the fruit, you are going to be like God. He didn't say, right? By the way, that was the first murder, right? A lot of times we think of about Cain killing Abel as the first murder, but the first murder was committed by Satan because he killed Adam and Eve. They were not going to know death. It came later on. They were not going to know death. But by that lie, he didn't say that you are going to lose the blessing for generations, right? So I know, as we talk about abortion, I hope nobody had to make that unfortunate decision. I hope nobody's in that situation where they will they will make that decision, right? And you say, you know what? Yeah, this is all good, but and it's good information, right? But how does this affect my a spiritual walk, right? And so I want to bring you back to the New Testament where Jesus says, if you are angry at your brother, okay? And there are two words for anger used in the New Testament. One is thunos. The word thunos, and the definition of that is when you turn all red, okay? You turn all red, your veins are popping up, right? You are angry. That's one word. That's not the word that's used in Matthew's chapter 5. Over there, the word is used as ogizo, okay? That is a slow simmering thought in your heart that builds up over time where you want to harm your brother or your sister or your whoever, okay? That's the word that is used over here. And that's important to understand. Have you ever been angry with someone in your life? Have you lashed out at them? Then you have committed a murder. Then you have committed a murder. And you say, you know what? I had a just cause for it. Let me talk to you about a parallel that we find in a New Testament, right? There was a servant. He went to a master. He owned he owed a lot of money. He owed, let's for an argument, said he owed $1 million, and the master forgave him. He came out and he found a servant who owed him only $1,000, and he beat him and put him in a prison, right? And that's the perspective we need to think about. You know, you perhaps might think, you know, I am justified to be angry at my brother. I'm justified to be angry at my father. I'm justified to be angry at my wife or my husband, okay? Because they did this to me. There are people that we know, you know, they have been angry for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, right? Because of a small wrong that was done, a long time ago. And they have never been able to let go, right? And so I bring you to that parable. And the only way to get rid of that anger is forgiveness. Without forgiveness, you are committing a murder. Just if you think the way you think and you are angry at your brother, you are committing a murder. And the only way to overcome that is reconciliation and forgiveness. Go to Genesis, right? Jacob steals the blessing from Esau. He is angry. He is looking to murder him, right? But then the few chapters later, when Jacob comes back to the promised land, right? Esau says, God has blessed me. I have all I need. Sorry, he didn't say God has blessed me. He said, I have enough. Right? He did not give a credit to God, right? But he did forgive his brother. And that relationship was restored. There was no murder that took place. And so as we look at this commandment, it's important to remember some of these facts, right? Do you need to let go of something? Do you need to just pick up a phone and perhaps speak to a brother or a sister and just say, you know what? I have been angry too long. We are about to celebrate Thanksgiving, go into a season of festivity, a Christmas season. Perhaps this is a time, maybe it's been too many Thanksgiving that you have spent without a family because you have not able to let go of the anger. And why that anger is a murder? Because it has killed that relationship. Satan has established, right? He doesn't like the gathering of the family. When he can isolate you, then he can have his way with you, right? He can play whatever games he wants to. You can, every one of us has a little court in our mind. And we go through all these arguments against the person that we are angry at, right? And you know what's the great thing about that court? You win that case every single time. Because all the arguments you make, you know, every single time you win that the thing. And it continues to build up and continues to build up. Okay? And Satan has his way with you, right? It's Thanksgiving. Is there somebody that you need to forgive? Is there somebody you need to reconcile with, right? And just make that relationship whole. And so as I talk to you about some uncomfortable stuff with abortion, right? By the way, how many murders have committed by false teaching from the pulpit, right? You go to John chapter 10, right? It talks about a thief, right? He does not come from the front door. He comes from some other way. And all that is talking about, and you're going to tell me that it's talking about Satan. But if you read that portion of the scripture in a context, it's talking about a false teacher, right? What does it say over there? The thief comes not from the front door, from the roof, from somewhere else he comes, right? Meaning that this person is trying to tell you you can get there, but not the way that Jesus is teaching. And the false teacher, and I don't have time, unfortunately, I'm running out of time. I don't have a time to give you a complete and develop that completely, but a false teaching can be killing someone, committing a murder, okay? Because now you are teaching a false doctrine, right? And there are pulpits right now all over America approving of a lifestyle that is totally unbiblical. And guess what they are doing to those people who are sitting there listening to those messages, right? They are keeping them away from life, meaning they are murdering them. But my idea, a week before a Thanksgiving was not to get you all depressed, right? What is the good news in all of this, right? What is the good news on all of this? As Abel's blood is crying out, perhaps a 60 million baby's blood is crying out to the Lord to avenge their blood, right? First and foremost, what we need to do is we need to turn to God and pray for this nation that there may be, instead of the judgment, okay? And I do believe we are in the middle of a judgment, that would be reversed and there would be a revival. We need to pray to God, right? Just like when we go into Daniel chapter 9, he prayed for the nation that said, if we have committed a sin, forgive us. Get us out of this captivity. Like Daniel, we need to cry out to the Lord. We need to pray for this nation and that he may bring a revival in this nation, right? And as we talk about that blood crying out to God, right? I want to bring in another blood, right? The blood of Christ. Because it is... if you had an unfortunate event, or if you had an unfortunate decision that you made, and if you did have an abortion, okay, if you did make that mistake, perhaps you were not saved, perhaps you did not know any better, perhaps you were in a circumstances where you were not thinking clearly, and you did commit an abortion. If you, and I know all of us are guilty of this, if you have been angry at your brother, and you have committed a murder in that sense, okay, if there is any kind of a malice in your heart toward a brother or a sister, right, there is a forgiveness available if we are washed by the blood of Christ. When you come to the foot of the cross, right, there is grace and mercy. Abel's blood cries out for vengeance and justice, right? Jesus' blood cries out with grace and mercy. It is when we come to Jesus, no matter what we have done, right? Every sin that we may have committed, any commandment that we have broken, if we come with a sincere heart, repent and ask for a forgiveness, He is loving and He will forgive you. And as we are going through these commandments, what we need to understand, right? The commandment, the law, is a taskmaster that leads you to the foot of the cross. Realizing the standard that God has set for us, I am unable to meet. And we're going to see that next week when we look at the adultery. Okay, a standard that God has set, we are unable to meet that standard. And so unless you are covered by the blood of Christ, you are headed to hell. That blood, that grace is available to all of us. All you need to do is repent, turn to Him, be born again, and be part of an eternal, eternal blessing. I hope you have been blessed. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we pray for this nation, Lord. We pray for this nation, Lord, and Lord, you know the evil that is happening in this nation, Lord, where we are trying to legalize sin, Lord. And it has gotten to the point, Lord, that many Christians have fallen for this false teaching, Lord. That they are not holding others accountable for what you define as a sin, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for this nation that was built on a biblical principle, Lord, that you wake up people, Lord, that they would turn to you, Lord. Lord, as we turn to you, we know that you are able and will forgive us, bless us, restore us, Lord. I pray that you raise up leaders in this nation, Lord, who are grounded into the scripture, Lord, who have a moral law that comes from the Bible, Lord. I pray for the current administration, Lord. I pray for our President Joe Biden, Lord, and Kamala Harris, Lord. Lord, show them the error of their way when it comes to this particular subject, Lord. Lord, they are so adamant. They are promoting. They are making it as easy as possible to commit a murder, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord, before it's too late, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, if there is anything in our heart toward a brother, toward a sister, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we search our heart out today, Lord, and that we may find forgiveness for those people as you have forgiven us, Lord. An only condition in the Lord's Prayer is forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, Lord, help us to forgive, Lord. And we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us. We thank you. We love you. It's in your mighty name that we pray. Amen.